Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you two, Not in a Creepy Way.
Hey. Welcome, this is Eric.
This is brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight we're going to talk about actually two Marvel movies, but we're going to start out with one that we haven't talked about before on the podcast, Thor, The Dark World. 2013. Directed by Alan Taylor.
This one's for you, Brother Jay.
Yeah, Brother Jay, we had warned you that there was a movie coming up that you should lower your expectations for. Did you lower them sufficiently?
I'm not even sure how to quantify that. The noise in the background that you'll hear is the freezing rain that's hitting the windows in my office right now. So
awesome.
Good times. Yeah. Did I lower expectations enough? I'm really not sure. Because I really don't know how to feel about this movie.
Oh, excellent. That's actually more intriguing. Yeah. Although I will tell you that this is the second time I watch this movie. And my expectations were zero because I hated this movie the first time. And watching it now, I think it's just an unsuccessful movie. I don't think it's like it didn't make me angry. It's not a crime against filmmaking. It's just not very successful.
It just seemed very wasted.
Yeah, it did one thing. It introduced us to Infinity Stones.
A lot of time.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I think this movie was full of swings and misses. Like I could see what they're trying to do.
Jason, is that some sort of Pepto-Bismol or what is it, Alka-Seltzer?
No, it's not me.
That is the pressure being released from our Instant Pot upstairs.
Sweet. I love it. Hey, what's for dinner?
Thanks for assuming it was me.
You're holding a glass with ice in it, and I thought it was you were holding.
There's nothing in the glass.
I did not know
ice,
that.
So it doesn't. it's not sublimating carbon dioxide. So
I did not know that. All I saw was the glass in your hand and holding it up toward the microphone. That was maybe something clear and fizzy. Hey, Drew, did you watch the movie recently as well?
Yes, I watched it this week.
And what did you think on your second watch or third or fourth watch? I'm not sure.
This is at least my third watch. I went back and watched Thor the Dark World again after Avengers Endgame. Because after Endgame, I went back and watched a bunch of movies that I hadn't seen in quite a while. And because the first time I watched the movie, I was really bummed out and disappointed. Because I enjoyed the first Thor movie. I didn't think it was great, but I thought it was fine. But it had potential. And then the Avengers movie was really fun. So I was really hoping that they would get it right with Thor the Dark World and really hit a home run. And they did not. They did not. This movie was not good. I mean, they wasted Natalie Portman. They not only wasted Rene Russo, but wasted and killed her.
Yes.
They fridged Thor's mom, which is a bummer. I mean, they tried to make it more funny. I think they realized the first movie was way too serious. So they tried, and I respect them for trying, but it didn't work. The humor that they tried didn't land. The goofiness that they put in this movie was so just antithetical to the darkness of the literal darkness and also metaphorical darkness of the villain and what the villain was trying to do. And it was the tones were so different that the director couldn't reconcile them. The director or the screenwriter, all of them, they couldn't reconcile them. So it just felt messy.
I think one of the things that got to me earlier was the trope of the mad scientist running around in his underwear. It got really old, really fast.
Well, exactly. It would have been fine for a little bit.
Right. But a lot of this movie was like that. Well, lots of it would have been fine for a little bit. Yeah. But they suffered this. I think this movie suffered from the Saturday Night Live syndrome where they just took a premise and beat it to death.
You know what? I'm going to give kudos. Kat Dennings' character got the right amount of screen time, and she got the right amount of laughs for her screen time.
Yeah.
That's it.
She was fine.
Yeah. Natalie Portman, again, I mean, it makes me, even though I know we have evidence that she is a great actress, not just a good one, a great actress.
Mm-hmm.
This makes me question, though.
She was so upset about this movie, she refused to do it anymore. Even though I believe she was under contract.
I don't blame her.
Was she was upset at the writing or the directing or what was her issue?
I think she was upset about the storyline. She was upset what they did with the character. And she was really pissed that they ran off Patty Jenkins.
Who's Patty Jenkins?
She was the first director attached to this movie.
Okay. Yeah.
And what she would go on to direct Wonder Woman.
Ah, okay. But not the second Wonder Woman, right? Or did she? Did she do
them both? She did. Yeah.
Okay. Because, like, this reminded me of a little bit of the second Wonder Woman in that, yeah, the humor didn't quite work.
Yeah. Patty Jenkins, many years later, gave an interview where she talked about how she had some ideas for what to do with these characters. And after she signed on, she found out Marvel was not interested in her ideas at all and gave her the script. And she realized the script was absolute garbage and the movie would be bad. So she tried to suggest changes. And when she realized that none of those changes were going to get implemented, she walked away because she knew that one of the storylines would be she's the first woman to direct a superhero movie. And if it's a failure, that was going to be the reason why.
Smart. Yeah, the movie never really they didn't break any real ground. Again, to me, it just seemed like this was almost 2 hour exercise in saying, oh yeah, these big scary things we talked about before, they're actually called Infinity Stones, and somehow that mumbly guy from The Usual Suspects is involved in it.
It was just one big recycled set scene from the first movie with a bunch of mommy and daddy issues thrown in.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It had the same old characters doing the same old things.
Yeah, there was, and to no one's surprise, except that there should have been surprised from the characters, not the least of which have done these things before. Like, none of this was new ground. This is all recycled. So Odin, who was surprised by this, except that he had reference to it because he knew it had happened in the past, and yet they didn't know how to deal with it, except they did know how to deal with it, except that they couldn't deal with it. And none of it made sense. It just all was like this. There was pieces missing. Why Odin wouldn't want Thor to take care of it or see that there was a threat from within that needed to be taken out. I mean, there's just so many, it's just so much obvious bad plot leading that it just went nowhere.
Can we talk about Stargate for a second?
The movie or the series?
Wait, I have one more point before we tangent off to Stargate. Can you guys see my background?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, for the benefit of those who can't see it, it's a panel of Malekith from the comic books.
Oh, okay.
Malekith in the comic books is bonkers and batshit crazy in a good way, like in a really fun way. I mean, this panel is, he looks like he's a blue-skinned, like, reject from, like, a 70s concept band, and he's writing a winged albino tiger.
Excellent.
As you do.
The Malekith in this movie is completely humorless, completely devoid of anything fun or interesting. And I mean, his personality is washed out. His look is washed out.
And not unique.
And they took their dark elves, and they took that to mean, like, they just have no color. And that's such, like, a basic, shallow interpretation of something. I think that belies a lot of the problems of the movie. It's like everything is just taken to a surface level without much thought or creativity put into it.
Also, it just, it just seems so, okay, been asleep or hibernating or in suspension for ostensibly thousands and thousands of years, millennia, and yet doesn't seem baffled by anything that's going on, doesn't seem fazed by anything that's going on. Also, doesn't really have a cohesive plan per se, but forges a plan, but doesn't really think, with all the things going around them, since they got defeated once by Odin's Odin's father, and maybe Odin and Thor would be able to defeat him again, and instead of taking some foundational steps to kind of make a cohesive plan and safeguard the plan, just bulldozes through everything.
Because he's the monster of the week is what he is. He gets no development.
He's extremely single-minded. He only knows what to do with what's right in front of him. And he only has one goal and one purpose. And it's super boring.
Yeah.
And we saw last week with Ruben from Sound of Metal that type of mindset can actually be super compelling.
Exactly. Yeah. You can do other things with that. Well, okay. This is where I think we must have talked about this during the other Thor, but it is still a Thor point with for me.
Ha ha.
Thank you. So allow me again. I may have had this entire conversation / rant before, but this reminded me of a little bit of Stargate. Remember the movie Stargate?
Yeah.
Yes. And the TV show and whatever. But the movie Stargate, if you would, like, squint your eyes a little bit and ignore, you know, the goofy acting and French Stewart and stuff, you know, you've got this basically a sci-fi movie, but it's got elements of, like, ancient Egypt and stuff. So it's all sci-fi, right? It's all like pew-pew sort of stuff, but they all look like Egyptian gods and all this, right? Okay. I don't have a problem with that. That was fine. I hate, like, all the Thor worlds, all the nine realms. I hate each of them for individually and collectively, because it's all, like, I don't remember in the comics. In the comics, it seemed like it was all mostly... well, first of all, I don't think they were expressly aliens. I think they were gods, right? And there wasn't any, like, a bunch of laser beams and stuff. It wasn't like you didn't have, like, the Imperial blaster cannons, like, shooting at you. It was either swords and horses and shit or big monsters or whatever. I hate the mixture of those two things.
The beginning of this movie, to me, felt like a Star Wars movie.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
I had that exact thought.
It looked like a concept of a Star Wars.
Yeah. I hated the Star Wars vacation of Thor, which is supposed to be like sword and sorcery.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. I expect to see magic, swords and sandals.
Magic and shit. Not laser beams.
No. And again, all of the, like, steampunkification also of, like, the Bifrost and whatever. It's like, no, and it's magic. It's magic. Just make it magic.
Yeah, and while
I'm also really tired of Heimdall saying he can't help and then helping.
Heimdall's a liar.
This is you know, I can't help you, except I can help you.
Yeah, Heimdall. He's an awesome character in the comic books.
He is an awesome character in the movies, except for that fact.
He's probably an awesome character in, I don't know, mythology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Idris Elba is great. Don't get me wrong. But.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He's he's Black Superman.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. It's like he takes off his helmet, right? And therefore some of his mystique falls away. And he's just sitting at the table, like drinking a Fanta or whatever. And he's like, treason? Again? Sure. I'm in. I can't officially tell you I'm in, but just tell me what you need done, and you might get done. I don't know.
Yeah. What? Another thing that occurred to me while I was going on my internal rant about all the laser beams and shit in this movie that I hated, it occurred to me in the next Thor movie, just jump ahead to that, which... if this movie is in the bottom echelon of all the Marvel movies, if not at the bottom, the next Thor movie, I think, is universally accepted to be in the highest of echelon of the Marvel movies.
How many films do we have to wait till we get to that one?
Like 9 more.
Ah, cool.
It's okay, Jason.
I'm not complaining. I'm just... I am in no way surprised it took them 8 movies in between to get something that was better.
Oh, and yeah, by the way,
it's very enjoyable, but it's also a space movie, but I didn't hate it the way I hated this. So to me, that exemplifies it. It's all about the execution.
Okay.
The execution was so poor in this movie that none of its sins can be forgiven.
Also, it was largely to the civilians to save everybody.
Yeah. Okay, so apparently the director, who had directed lots of episodes of Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. That explains some of it.
His I guess, between Kevin Feige and some of the other people.
Feige.
Sorry, Kevin Feige. Kenneth Branagh withdrew from the sequel. And so, yeah, so then we have Patty Jenkins and Brian Kirk and blah, blah, blah. But apparently the idea was the film should have been more grounded than Thor, inspired by Game of Thrones sort of thing.
That would at least have been more appropriate.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of laser beams in Game of Thrones, but that was a different world, I guess. And I guess you're kind of stuck with the world that they gave you off the first Thor movie.
They're dragons.
Dragons is not Star Wars.
I know, I'm just saying. You know, Game of Thrones had dragons, so it's not like you couldn't have had all kinds of ethereal elements.
And actually, Star Wars had sort of dragony things, but again, it worked fine.
And, yeah, I don't understand how Thor is different at the end of the movie than he is at the beginning of the movie.
Well, I don't think he is.
He's not.
Well... Other than now, he has an even bigger chip on his shoulder.
Does he? I don't know. He seems fine.
Guys, I think we have a problem here. I'm sensing a problem. I'm looking at Wikipedia. Because my preparation this week, I had a kind of a long, a frustrating week. So my preparation is not up to my normal substandard standards. And so I'm like reading basically right off of Wikipedia because it's got a better plot synopsis than IMDb. So there are it's very difficult for me to say. There are 3 Thor movies.
Yes.
Right? There is Thor. There is Thor, The Dark World. Mm-hmm. There is Thor, Ragnarok. Do you know what the title of the 4th Thor movie is?
Yes, I do.
Jason, do you know? No. Drew, tell us the title.
Thor Love and Thunder.
Yes.
So it's a porn.
Love and Thunder.
I'm super excited for it.
Oh my God. Love and Thunder.
It's written and directed by the same dude that did Thor Ragnarok. Are you guys aware of Taika Waititi?
No.
You know?
Was he in Wu-Tang Clan?
he was not. He did like Hunt for the Wilder People. He did what? Jojo Rabbit last year.
Oh, okay.
He did What We Do in the Shadows.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
He's that guy. He is super goofy.
Okay. All right. I haven't seen Jojo Rabbit. Have you guys?
I've not, but I've recently watched Hunt for the Wilder People, and it is fantastic.
Okay. Hunt for the Wilder People.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
All right. Shall we dive into the plot, or do we even bother? That's the other question we have. Like, it's just dumb. You know how Iron Man 3 kind of discusses what happened in, it talks about what happened in the Avengers, and there's some consequences from the Avengers and some real life stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Thor mentions the Avengers in that he showed up there, and V for Vendetta girl was unhappy that he showed up and didn't like pop in on her, but nothing has changed. I mean, maybe it's because in the world of the Nine Realms, it's all just fighting and drinking and slaying and whatever. I mean, that just happens all the time. Maybe everything is Valhalla, but clearly, though, I mean, that's Loki's in jail. Okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And Thor and his buddies are out there, kicking ass and taking names. They got the Asian guy in for just a tiny bit before they dropped him off on Asian planet. I'm sorry, Asian realm. But anyway, yeah. So there's this convergence of all the Nine Realms when they all line up in Syzygy, and this is all, I've even forgotten, and I'm looking at the plot here. Apparently Jane Foster and her intern Darcy Lewis, and then her intern Darcy Lewis's intern. There's an anomaly, some weird portals, blah, blah, blah. They go to a warehouse in London and find one of these weird portals. And then somehow Jane gets sucked into this netherworld where she gets infected with the ether.
More yep. Less.
Yeah. The ether that's been hidden away.
Now, was this into another world, or was this just, this seemed like it was on Earth?
No, it was a different realm.
So it was just a portal from Midgard to one of the other guards.
Yeah.
Or Dals or Himes. And, yeah.
I think the Dark Elves planet realm.
So basically, the ether.
They put the ether back.
Yeah, is that where they were hiding it, on the planet where the Dark Elves were? Because they assumed there were no Dark Elves there.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Yeah, because Odin's dad,
Bor.
Oh, yeah, he killed all the Dark Elves. This is a genocidal kind of. I mean, they were going to kill all the frost giants, and they were killing all the.
It's a genocidal mythology.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, this is addressed in the next Thor movie.
Okay, cool. This, by the way, this is why. If you find somebody that's really into wearing the paraphernalia of Norse mythology.
You mean like Anthony Hopkins?
No. I mean, like, if you see somebody who has a Thor's hammer necklace, they might be a white supremacist.
Yes.
Mew Mew. Yeah.
Mew Mew is hilarious, by the way. That's the kind of humor I love. That's great. When we talk about our next movie, Guardians of the Galaxy, I will get to chime in for the first time about humor in these kind of movies. Because that is a wacky movie. But this movie is fairly humorless because, again, Dr. Jane Foster gets all infected with the evil dark magic, and Thor then has to show up and take her to Asgard to get all healed, but she can't be healed, and blah, blah, blah. Odin hates that she's there because you don't bring mortals to the Asgard table.
And here's my problem. I didn't care. I didn't care about any of this.
There was no reason to care.
No,
I didn't. Like, I would have rather have seen her become like this possessed alien devil thing that they had to fight. But instead, they gave us this dreck where she was weak and damseled, and they make it a big point in the beginning of the movie how she that her body was defending itself. Right, the ether was defending itself if anybody put her in danger, but she couldn't exploit that for any purpose except she absolutely could have.
It would have made her a villain in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, though, and for much the same reason, actually.
The only thing I cared about in this movie was I got bummed out when I saw sad Loki.
Yeah. Yeah. Sad Loki was
a, yeah, you feel bad. Feel bad for him.
Yeah, that was a nice little turn. Mm-hmm. Like, Loki's all put together, but he's not. It's an illusion. It's all illusions of Loki. Yeah. Loki's a master of illusion.
He's a trickster. Mischief.
Yes. So, but yeah, the villains are all cookie cutter villains, man. Yep. This is exactly, basically, if it wasn't metal, it's the same villain as the first Thor movie. Just he's all shorter and crumblier. That's it. Correct me if I'm wrong. The idea of this movie is that Thor, because Dr. Jane Foster gets damseled, Thor has to save Midgard again, and he by saving it in a noble manner, whatever, he proved that he's, again, not the dumb guy. He actually has heroism, and so he could be king, right? Except he decides, instead of being king, he will abdicate or whatever for love, basically.
Except he's still the dumb guy because the bait and switch at the end of the movie.
He's still a dumb guy. The whole thing is dumb, and you don't care about him.
No.
Like, there is no transformation. He talks less. Talking less does make you seem smarter. This I have learned through my life. The less I talk, the smarter I appear. But yeah, anyway. And then, yeah, so
there was one brief moment in a scene in this movie where they actually let Chris Hemsworth's charisma like come through a little bit. And it's a great moment. It's when he has to ride the subway car back to the battle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that woman fake falls into his chest. And he's very stoic, but then he just gives like a little smile.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, the movie needed like 100 more of those moments.
Yes. Thor needed to be, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it would be too much of a stretch, but you know, the character Maui in Moana?
Mm-hmm.
Thor could be Maui. Like, that's the whole idea, is, like, Thor should be, like, you know, catching the swooning maiden and smiling, and you know, you see the little glint off his teeth, and he's like, you're welcome. He could have been that, but he's not. He's just dumb. And, yeah, basically, that's it. I mean, again, you know, dark elves, blah, 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 ether, blah, blah, blah. There's some, again, Star Wars battles between the dark elves and the Asgardians. And there's some major devastation to the, you know, that column and pillar community. It's not great for defense, apparently. And yeah, there's lots of also flying, like, sort of B-wing fighters, right? Through, like, exactly Star Wars shit. We're going to see some of that in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, but at least it's about the galaxy.
Also, they appear to be very lax on their security measures and procedures and rely heavily on antiquated security technology.
Well, the only time you see, again, the swords that I was expecting to see is when they're fighting spaceships. Then you have the 100 guys with swords and spears show up. It's like, no, this is not your time.
Yeah, and another problem that trying to have all of these movies within the same continuity has created is you have to have a reason why there is a universe-shattering event, but none of the Avengers show up.
Well, yeah.
And this movie just ignores that.
Yeah, the only time you see mention of the Avengers is when Loki gets to shoehorn Captain America in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That made me laugh.
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah. It was fine.
It's funny.
But, yeah. It just didn't work. Now, is Chris Hemsworth a good actor? Has he been in other stuff that's good? Black Hat or something? I haven't seen that.
I liked Black Hat.
Yeah, I've heard it's good.
He is.
Isn't he in a movie you recommended lately? Some sort of action movie. Yeah,
Extraction was a fun movie on Netflix.
Yeah,
he's an acceptable actor, and he has great screen presence.
Oh, he was supposed to be good in Ghostbusters, right? Or am I thinking of the wrong guy? Is it Chris Pine
who's in Ghostbusters? He was fine in Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters was bad.
Okay.
He's playing Hulk Hogan in the Hulk Hogan biopic.
Yeah, yeah. Love and Thunder.
Escape from Spiderhead.
No.
Yes, it's in post-production.
Escape from Spiderhead.
That's what this says.
Huh.
Fun. The Jay and Silent Bob reboot. I haven't seen that.
I think he is a. I think he's a more compelling actor than The Rock.
Oh, excellent.
Like, if I heard there's a Chris Hemsworth movie coming out, I'd be more excited about it. Without knowing anything about it, I'd be more excited about that than hearing that there's another Rock movie coming out. Another The Rock movie?
Yeah, yeah. Was it, what is it, Crockett and Hobbs or whatever? If it was Chris Hemsworth?
Yeah.
Well, again, I'm sure he'll be in lots of things. We'll get to see his evolution, whatever. He needs to do a Tropic Thunder thing. And, you know, as long as he doesn't go full retard, he'll be fine. But he needs an Oscar bait movie. Have you seen him and his brother in Charlie Bit My Finger?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, it's dumb, but it's funny. Are you familiar with the Charlie Bit My Finger meme?
No.
These two little English kids in the back of a car, and Charlie's like an infant, and his brother is like a toddler. And
which brother? Which one of his brothers does he do this thing?
Oh, with? Liam. How many other brothers does he have?
There's another one.
Oh, okay. I do not know. But yeah, it's... basically, the toddler kid is upset because Charlie bit his finger. And because he's doing an English accent, it's very cute. Hmm. So it's like, Charlie bit my finger. And so the Hemsworth brothers, Liam and Chris, do like a Shakespearean performance way over the top of Charlie bit my finger. Sort of a Hamlet kind of thing, or, you know, anyway. It is equal to, but not better than the lawyer who has the cat filter.
Look it up, Jason. It's amazing.
Yeah, back to the movie for just a second.
Okay.
So we have, again, Thor goes back, blah, blah, blah. We already know what's going to happen. They defeat the Dark Elves. Jane Foster is fine.
I had no suspense in this movie. There was no suspense at all.
Well,
I didn't.
They killed Thor's mom.
Yeah, which I was not thrilled about, but didn't. It was incidental, and as much as I'm not happy with it, it didn't do any. It did nothing for the story. True. I mean, I guess ostensibly it made them want vengeance, but there was a thousand other ways they could have done that. But
anyway. Well, it did give us the scene where Odin broke down and showed how much he cared about his beloved wife.
Exactly. Yes, Drew is shaking his head. Yeah. Yeah, Odin is kind of a jerk.
He is.
Yeah. Whoever wrote those Thor Odin stories had some daddy issues, I'm just saying.
You think?
Yeah. But then, so blah, blah, blah. Loki dies. They kill off Loki too, except Loki never dies. Come on. So Loki dies a hero. Blah, blah, blah. Odin gets to say, I have one son who wanted to be king too much and another son who doesn't want it at all. Like, yep, except that's about right.
Yeah, that's... That actually would have been an interesting scene between father and son, except like Jason's saying, it wasn't.
Well, exactly.
So I don't understand. I don't understand how Loki got rid of Odin.
Well, I don't understand how that happened or what that was all about, too. Was it? Was
there's
it,
no Odin, there's no foundation for it. Is this Odin, explained right? in the next movie?
I like to think he didn't get rid of Odin. It's just the. He happened like Odin's like off in the mess hall or something.
Exactly. Yes. And Loki just happens to be in the seeing Thor come down the hall.
Yeah. No. He got rid of Odin.
Oh, okay.
They will address it.
Okay.
Okay. But we don't see any of that. It's just suddenly. Okay. Surprise.
Yeah. Makes no sense.
I would have appreciated that story more than the bait and switch.
Yeah. Because
the bait and switch just, I was like, I was done. I was like, thank God this is over.
Well, okay. So then we have credits, and then we have the mid-credit scene where we have Volstagg and Sif visiting the Collector and entrust the Aether to his care. Commenting that the Tesseract, already in Asgard, is now, if you had two of Infinity Stones too close together, that would be a problem. So they need to keep it elsewhere. So the Collector's like, sure, I'll handle it, because I was the buffoonish kidnapper in excess baggage, and I can handle this. So then we have a post-credit scene. Alicia Silverstone masterpiece movie, Excess Baggage? I'm just saying.
Yep.
In a post-credit scene, we have Foster and Thor reuniting on Earth, somewhere in London, in a scene reminiscent from the Avengers kind of deadpan scene in the shawarma restaurant. Just sort of nothing's going on, except you have this hilarious Jontime monster or whatever banging around in the industrial area, because he went through a portal. I'm sure that'll be addressed.
Were you trying to say Jotunheim?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Where the monster from Jotunheim by Menon. Yeah. Anyway. Any other notes, Jay? Does Sif ever get to do anything, by the way, in the next movie? Sorry, Jason.
Sif got another job.
Okay. All right.
Odin's new humping whore.
No, the actress got a leading role in an NBC action drama.
Oh, okay.
She's gone.
They buried the dark ether so deep that no one can fight it, except they barely buried it.
Was not buried.
Yeah. And then I wrote in the spirit of dogma, alignment. Wow. And then that was when I stopped taking notes.
Nice.
What would you give this?
It's so hard because it looked good. These movies look good. They're great looking movies, right? Or at least I think they are. They look great.
Yeah,
the production value is high.
This actually looked better than the first one.
Yeah, it did. Absolutely. It looked great. Good special effects. So, you know, A plus for special effects. For plot, C minus. And so in total, it can't be more than a C movie. And I think that's more than generous. Because I didn't care. I don't ever care to revisit this movie. And I kept wanting it to end. I kept just looking at the clock going, okay, it's been an hour and a half. I have a half an hour more. Like, I just kept wanting to get to the end, which is, I don't think, the mark of a good movie. Nothing in this movie made me care about it at all. No performance, no character. I mean, it's true. Loki was probably the most compelling part of this, but only pieces of the story.
Exactly. If anything, I was like,
I want a Loki movie.
Chew new scenery. Come on, man. Don't be petulant all the time. You're a trickster. You're not Mr. Weiner Pants. Right. Emo Loki? Nobody wants emo Loki. Except for that one scene when he lets his guard down.
Yeah, there is no... This movie is completely skippable. There's no character development. There's no plot details that matter to anything.
Then why did we watch it?
To be completionists?
Yes, yes. Because it gets us one step down the road to... Infinity
but
Wars,
it was
right? And then Endgame.
Skippable.
No, I don't think so.
He just said completely skippable.
You think?
What?
Yeah.
What? I do. What of this? Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess that's not fair. Watching Avengers Endgame made me want to go back and watch this movie. So okay. I guess it's not completely skippable, but if you do skip it, it's fine. That's gross.
It's candy. It was supposed to be a lick and dip, but I don't like the powder.
Okay. What? The powder is the best part.
I don't ever want to hear you say lick and dip again. That sounds real nasty. Okay, go back upstairs.
She can't hear this, but when we were a kid, we had to lick our finger and stick it in a bucket of Tang. That was as close to we had a fun dip.
Or Gatorade powder.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. There's always a spoon in the quick container.
Anyway. I still have one.
Yeah, of course. Okay.
And the crystallized solid block of strawberry quick because I never drink it enough. Turns into this big mass chunk of nothingness.
It's better when it doesn't completely dissolve anyway.
That Hershey's chocolate milk powder was the best because it never mixed and you could just like eat it like fudge.
Oh, well, I know. It made its own little cocoon, like an air bubble.
Yeah.
That's the greatest.
By the way,
it's sort of like mixing the yogurt with the fruit at the bottom that you don't mix up. It's like a little treat.
But also mixing cold milk and hot cocoa powder is also really awesome.
Yes.
Also, it defies physics. It's a...
Yeah.
It's
no wonder that I, you know, weigh what I do.
Do you guys remember, just as we're tangenting quick to food, do you remember Hershey's chocolate syrup in the can?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, the best. I miss
also,
the can
hot
taste.
Fudge, they're hot fudge in a can. They're yes? hot fudge yep. was supreme in the can. That was the best.
Yeah.
And it had the little yellow plastic snap lid.
I could go for a can of fudge right now.
Yeah, I remember the hot chocolate in the can that you would have to get the bottle opener with the sharp pointy end in
yes.
it so you could create a hole in one side and then you had to create a smaller hole in the other
yes.
side so that it would actually pour out.
The Coors can method.
Fluid dynamics. That taught us fluid dynamics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The best.
Great stuff.
Okay, so that our can of Hershey syrup is our palate cleanser between the second this and the second Marvel movie, a movie you guys had already talked about. So guys can enlighten me because I remember editing it. I found it very entertaining. I don't remember. I think I remembered you guys liking the movie, but we'll talk about it. This is the James Gunn movie, Guardians of the Galaxy 2014.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to throw it into this episode because we had not talked about it with you, Eric, and I didn't want to spend a whole episode talking about Thor: The Dark World.
Smart
movie. Even though it's slightly out of order, there is a movie in between.
But if memory serves, that's a good movie.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
actually anything after Thor Dark World. Although, again, I think we are approaching the end of the movies that I have seen already. So nice. This is going to be a nice adventure.
Nice.
Jason, I walked all over you. Guardians of the Galaxy. What do you remember? Mm-hmm. Did you watch it again this week?
I watched both movies this today.
Sweet.
Wow.
So, today is my Friday off anyway, but I knew I was going to be housebound because the impending snowstorm. So I would have watched one of them last night, one of them this morning, but I just thought I would power through it today, which now that the power keeps threatening to go out, I'm like, maybe that wasn't the best choice, but yeah. At least the power didn't. Yeah. Anyway.
So you had a 4-hour Marvel marathon today?
Yes.
Yeah. So... Jay, what do you remember from Guardians of the Galaxy, and do you like it as much or more than you did before?
So, I went and saw Guardians of the Galaxy opening weekend in the movie theaters. One of my friends wanted to go see it, and I actually didn't know anything about it, and so it was one of those, okay, I'll go. And I actually really rather enjoyed it in the movie theater. And, of course, I didn't know anything about the universe that it was being built around, because, of course, it seems very... It's very self-contained in itself as a movie. And none of the characters I was familiar with. So I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it so much that as soon as it came out, I bought it on DVD. And then I've watched it. I've watched it probably a dozen times.
Sweet. Drew, what do you remember? First time this time.
This is a good movie. It's funny. It has heart. It holds up. Special effects are great.
And now
it's the most likable Vin Diesel's ever been.
Now that it's a Disney movie, it follows the Disney trope of killing off the mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And having a non-existent father.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. By the way, so we don't know who, I assume, is Star-Lord's father addressed in the second Guardians of the Galaxy movie?
It's, yes.
Okay.
A little bit.
All right. Okay. Okay, so I'm not gonna ask, yeah, I was surprised. Again, I had seen maybe 20 minutes of this movie and pulled the plug way back when, because frankly, I think too many characters. None of them were reminiscent from my childhood. I never saw any Guardians of the Galaxy, never read any of the comics. Don't know any of the characters. Maybe I'd heard of Rocket Raccoon, but maybe not. The music, of course, draws you right in. That's fun. Mm-hmm. And it's weird. Yeah, it's that whole, the first couple minutes of it, you're like, oh, this is going to be up. Where it just bums you out from the very beginning.
The opening of this movie was very difficult. Because, again, I went into this movie blind when I saw it in the movie theater. It was super difficult.
Yeah.
Because I did not know what was going on, and so I was very, very, very confused. At first, I had thought we had gone into the wrong movie theater.
Yeah.
See, this movie was a huge swing for Marvel, because it's like smack dab in the middle of their phase two, and there are no Avengers in this movie.
Yeah. Not only are there no Avengers, but the post-credit scene references... a fucking way out there character. Do we see that way out character ever again, by the way?
Briefly.
Okay. Anyway, we'll get there when we get there. But this is a wild movie. I think I was also turned off by the fact that Thanos, God knows who Thanos is, you never really see him, and then Ronan the Accuser is, a little over the top. But as it turns out, by the end of the movie, I love that he was a little over the top. It's pretty great.
He was great. And it pays off with one of the best gag reels I've seen in quite a long time.
Yes.
Is that
it's
available
worth
on
searching
Marvel?
Out, Eric.
Okay. All right. So now the Kree were introduced in the Avengers. Is that right? Or were they introduced in a movie before the Avengers?
No.
I think they are. I think they're brought up.
I think the Kree were were mentioned.
They're mentioned somewhere.
Isn't that?
Oh, mentioned?
Yeah.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
But we don't see them.
No. No, but somebody mentions having a skirmish with the Kree at some point.
Mm. Why do I? Sure. What were the other? What was the alien race in some of the other movies?
In Avengers, it was the Chitauri.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm getting it mixed up. Again, I don't know. So Ronan the Accuser. I loved him because he reminded me of like the Norwegian black metal singers, musicians.
He was just a big, angry, tall, giant Smurf.
Yeah. But he put on his black war paint and the robe and he was wearing his towel and saying poetry, you know. It's a Henry Rollins joke about breaking up with a girl. Pity me not, I think was the quote. Yeah. And I didn't like Gamora at first. She grew on me. Michael Rooker is such a weirdo, but I liked his character, even though, again, it started out... this just started out like Redneck Avengers.
Yeah.
And then because it was funny and because, yeah, the action scenes were fun and the chemistry between the characters was great. And yeah, who would have thought that I understand why people like Groot? Just a lot of, I mean, Groot may have been the most emotional character in the whole movie.
You've got Rocket's weird fetish for prosthetic limbs.
Yeah, I don't know what that was all about, but very funny.
Very funny.
Yeah. And let's see. So, Peter Quill, Star-Lord,
which is his own hilarious, funny joke.
How's that?
It's a running gag.
Well, yeah. Well, okay. So Chris Pratt said he wanted Star-Lord to be a mixture of Han Solo and Marty McFly.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, that's about right.
The dash of Gary Payton, apparently.
The glove.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I liked Dave Bautista. It was funnier than I thought it was going to be. Now, did he?
Yeah.
Of course, his character, Drax?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was not his character in the Bond movie, right? There was a different Bond villain called Drax?
That might have been him.
I thought Drax...
He was a Bond villain.
Yeah, he was a Bond villain. He was an inspector, right? Anyway,
Spectre.
He was either Inspector or he was in.
He was Mr. Hinks.
Oh, okay.
Hinks. All right.
Maybe
close enough. Who was Drax? Drax was a.
Drax was another villain from another movie.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anyway. Yeah. So I like Drax. I like Groot. I like Rocket. Again, I liked Michael Rooker's character, Yondu. Nebula, meh. Korath, I like saying Jimin Hunsu. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but...
Hugo Drax, by the way, Moonraker.
Ah, got it, okay. John C. Reilly, meh.
Yeah. Glenn Close. Why was she in this movie? It was great, though.
Also, Benicio del Toro. Actually, a lot of these, like, this is kind of like his character and the other collector, the broker, the collector, all these are characters straight out of the Fifth Element. I mean, if Ruby Rod strolled onto the scene, he would not be surprising anybody.
Did you notice he had a dark elf in his collection?
I did not see that. Huh?
Yes.
That's funny.
I noticed it this time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know what it was before or earlier today. It was all just background. By the way, I think what Drew and I discussed, the opening choreography in this movie is supreme.
Where he's sort of dancing on the planet?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was great.
It's just amazing. So,
well,
there's a lot of those little touches in this movie.
Yeah. At every turn, Star-Lord is doing something goofy like that. But in such an earnest way, it kind of works out. Even at the very end when he does that dance-off thing. It's just dumb, mm-hmm. but it's great. I liked it.
But it works.
I liked a lot, yeah.
But I think also because he gives up the fact that he's dumb. He knows he's dumb, and he embraces it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and some of it's a put-on because he is super confident.
Yes.
Like, when they all are. And that I think that's what makes it what gives the movie heart is, you know, they all have kind of their specialties, but they're all very good at what they do. So nobody's really stumbling into anything. When they make a decision to do something, it has real stakes.
I want to see the second movie because I want to see now that they're a team, what they do as a team. Don't get my hopes up.
No. Okay. Lower your expectations for the second movie.
All right. I will take that advice. But
the second movie has a tremendous cast.
Okay. All right.
So the second Guardians of the Galaxy is to the first what the second Thor is to the first.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
It's not quite that bad. You have some of the best line readings ever given by Sylvester Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone. Okay. All right. But don't tell me Sylvester Stallone is Star-Lord's dad.
No.
Okay, good. All right.
But better.
Yeah. All right. We got to wait for like phase three for that too, right?
You could go watch it now. It wouldn't hurt anything.
Yeah, I will say one thing that the second movie has that's way better than the first movie is the end credits. The end credits are fucking amazing.
Yes. Okay. And although the end credits of this movie were pretty good.
Yeah.
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 The second one, you're right.
And the second one spawned the craziest music video.
Okay. All right.
Seriously, it wouldn't hurt if you just went and watched it now because there's nothing in that movie that.
Okay. So maybe when we take on Captain America Winter Soldier, we can have a little add on where we talk about Guardians 2. Or should we wait till there's a more slow, less good?
We should wait.
Okay.
I'll defer to Drew on that because I haven't seen the rest of them. So.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, really, we don't have to really go, because you guys already did the whole plot point thing. But, yeah, I thought, especially paired with this movie, Drew, I think it was a wise move for you to combine these, because the Guardians of the Galaxy is just a better movie. They both look great, because Marvel mm-hmm. movies tend to look great these days.
Well, also, the Guardians of the Galaxy was by far newer than the last movie we watched, so... I mean, the technology and the special effects.
It's a year apart.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're using different technology.
Oh, okay. So. Well, okay, but the other thing is, this is the first movie where they swear a lot. I mean, this has a different tone.
Well, they open up with, you know, Chris Pratt giving the middle finger, so.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, it's a thing. So it's fine. I like it. Not a bad thing. They almost say the F word.
I mean, not only do they swear, but they talk about his prolific sexual conquests in graphic detail, suggesting like how much bodily fluid he sprayed all over his ship.
Yes, they do.
A Pollock painting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Guardians of the Galaxy, good stuff. Go. What episode number is our Guardians of the Galaxy episode?
That was 267.
Sweet. Okay.
That's he's making it up.
Know. Of he course he know. Is. Yeah. Let me actually check one thing here while we're talking about it.
Episode 286, by the way.
Oh, very good.
So close.
Close, yeah.
And 294 was volume 2.
Okay. Just checked up to date the Apple Podcast charts through chartable.com. Now we have some tags on our download our URLs now that we can track data a little bit better. But looks like we in the category of film reviews on Apple Podcast Brazil, we are number 55, down 7 spots. And in Belgium, we are number 57, down 1 spot.
I don't understand any of these charts.
Well, okay, here's Brazil. Film review podcasts in Brazil. I'll read you a couple of, let's see, number one is Cinematico. Number two is the Pee Wee Cast. Number three is Pop Culture Happy Hour. Let's see, number five is Inside Marvel, a WandaVision after show. Number 14 is Movie Crush with Chuck Bryant. Pretty good, actually. Film Spotting, number 23. Film Junk, number 26. The West Wing Thing, number 38. Oh, did we fall off this chart too? Well, maybe. Nope, not in a creepy way, 55. Number 60 is Star Wars Explained. Let's see. Yeah.
Losers. Now,
let's go to Belgium. Belgium. Pop Culture Happy Hour, number 1. The Bechtel Cast, number 9. Movie Crush, number 13. Raiders of the Lost Podcast, number 23. The Horror Virgin. I love The Horror Virgin, by the way. Number 28. Let's see. Film Spotting is 40. Let's see. Nightmare on Film Street is 58. Never seen that one, but it's a Fangoria podcast. And we are 57. That's pretty exciting. Again, there may be only like 7 downloads in Brazil or Belgium, but it's nice to be on somebody's list. Somebody's still downloading. It's nice. Again, shout out to Spain and Canada and, of course, the UK. Dougie, we're talking about you. So, anyway, housekeeping?
Housekeeping.
Kids went back to school this week.
How'd that go?
It went okay.
Not great.
Drop off and pickup's kind of nightmarish, but.
Oh, so we found it exactly the opposite.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of geography.
That's true. You are in a very like tight neighborhood.
Yes, and they've compressed the time, which I think is the wrong way to go. But yeah, it's fine. We've got a system worked out. But they're only there from like 8:15 to noon.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, and then they do their math Zoom at 1:30.
Oh, that's the worst of all worlds. You got both things.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I feel sorry for you.
But they're very happy to be back.
I bet.
They don't even mind all of the extra protocols. But yeah, that's good. My other housekeeping is we are working. My wife and I are working our way through Better Call Saul season 5, the latest one before the last one airs sometime this year, I hope.
6 will be the last one?
I think so. That's great. It is far, far more enjoyable than Breaking Bad.
Wow. Which is one of the best TV shows ever.
Sure. It's good. It's very, very good. It's very good.
But it's not as good as Better Call Saul.
It is not.
Okay.
It's not fair to compare them, I don't think.
Okay.
They disagree.
Breaking Bad is a great series, but granted, I've only seen the first season of Better Call Saul, but it has a different tone.
Is it better or worse than All in the Family?
I've never seen it.
Is it better or worse than The Goldbergs?
Never seen it.
Is it better or worse than Alias?
I've only seen 2 episodes.
I can't like
I was throwing out purposefully. Yeah. Is it better or worse than Guy's Grocery Games?
Better.
Yeah, okay.
I don't even know what that is.
Guy Fieri's.
Oh, I don't. I knew as soon as I'm good.
Guy Fieri is a fucking hero. I'm just saying.
Okay.
He has done more for the economy than Donald Trump ever did.
That's a pretty low bar, so. Yeah.
That's it.
Cool. I got it. Brother Jay?
Got my second dose of vaccine.
And?
Kicked my ass.
So it hit you worse than it hit our parents.
Yeah.
How many days did it last?
I got my second dose on Thursday, last week Thursday. My arm hurt most immediately until probably 4 days. Within 24 hours, I had a fever of about 101, and pretty much was immobile for a couple, 3 days.
Wow.
It just devastated me. I wasn't actually sick, but I just, I couldn't do anything.
Excellent. So. That, to me, that sounds like an excuse not to do anything. Oh, well, I don't want to have that excuse is what you're saying. I'll tell you next Friday, although you guys are doing your podcast by yourselves next week, so I will tell you about it the week after next Friday, how it all went.
Yeah, which may be fortuitous that you're not doing the podcast. Yeah,
maybe so.
Because had I been on the podcast last Friday, I would not have been on the podcast last Friday.
Perhaps I should do a little extra work and maybe edit Jupiter Ascending and throw that in so that I can take an extra week and not have to edit next week.
Might not be unwise. It depends. I've got coworkers that had it, and within 24 hours, they were just fine. So I really think it's how sensitive your immune system is and how well your body took to the first dose.
So my doctor had COVID, and she said the first dose she got wiped her out.
Yeah.
But the second dose was fine. Yeah.
Well, her body already had some antibodies.
Exactly. So
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she said her second dose is great, but yeah.
Yeah, by that point, yeah. Oy.
So.
Oy. Because one of my former employees now works at a hospital, and they've been giving their staff they're on third and fourth rounds of employees now. So she said they're having about 50-50, but this is sheerly anecdotal evidence. There's no science behind this, but she said the majority of the users that she sees are reacting are between 40 and 55.
Great. Oh, nice.
So the under 40 crowd seems to be fine, and the over than 55 crowd seems to be fine for different reasons.
Well, you hit the Anderson boys sweet spot there.
Yay! Yeah. Just what we all wanted. Ding, ding, ding. So, I mean, I'm glad I'm vaccinated. I've got another week or so, 12 to 14 days is the prime antibody buildup. And then after a couple weeks, 14 days, you're pretty good as far as antibodies go. So they still say, 8 weeks is optimum, but, 2 weeks is good enough. So I'm still not heading back into the clinics or anything proactively, but I feel a little more confident, at least, that I'm a little bit insulated.
Medical question for you. Yeah. Which arm would you get it in? Your dominant arm or your non-dominant arm?
I got it in my dominant arm.
I've heard people say that that's the way to go because that you kind of work it more, maybe, and that's better for it.
You're forced to use it.
Yeah.
And that for me, but I'm also an anomaly because my left hand is only used for writing and eating. My right hand is actually my dominant hand, so I got my shot on my left arm. So, but I guess technically, probably I still use my left arm more gaming. I don't know. I'm trying to think, but yeah. So I would get it in the arm, your dominant arm, the one you're going to use the most, because if you keep it moving, you're going to have less soreness issues. So
Cool.
Or from my experience, anyway. You know, my flu shot this year was far worse than the first dose I got.
I had no reaction at all in my first dose. My arm didn't hurt. It's fine.
You will probably, and I'm just guessing, but I'm theorizing that you will probably have a pretty significant reaction on your second dose then.
Yeah,
if you had nothing from the first dose.
Yeah.
But maybe not. I mean, like I said, it's really been a crapshoot, and there isn't really, nobody knows. It's just, it's the same reason why some people in their 30s get COVID and die. And some people in their 80s who smoke get it and are just fine.
Yeah.
We just don't know. So.
Yeah.
I did, for some reason, I don't even know why last week. I think while you guys were recording, because I didn't leave the damn couch for 3 days. I was watching stuff on Netflix. And I watched on Netflix, and I recommend this, Operation Odessa.
Okay. Is that a documentary?
It is. It's an hour 33. I'll read you the synopsis. It is bonkers and amazing, and it's well worth the hour and a half of your time. A Russian mobster, a Cuban spy, and a smooth operator from Miami scheme to sell a Soviet submarine to a Colombian drug cartel for $35 million.
Sweet.
And it's a true story.
Awesome.
It's amazing. It really is just bad shit, but it's highly worth it. It's worth the investment of your time, even if you break it up into smaller chunks, but it was entertaining. It was the best hour and a half I spent, I think, last week. So
I took your advice, Jay, and started watching I'll Be Gone in the Dark. And I got 3 episodes in, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to put this away for a while.
Yeah.
Because
didn't I tell you?
Yeah, and you're right. It's like, it's just, I know where this is going to end up, and I don't know the details, and I want to know the details, but it's just so sad. And then, of course, you know, I'm seeing people interviewed who I've heard on podcasts and stuff, and I heard her on podcasts while she was still alive. So it's like, oh...
Yeah, it's highly worth getting through, but I would be in no hurry.
Well, just the fact that how many times she's interviewed and talks about how, oh yeah, this is my obsession. This is what's going to kill me. This is what keeps me up at night. I don't get any sleep or whatever because this is the kind of thing that happens. And yeah,
some of that's their editing though too.
Oh, probably.
Yeah. I mean. There's a fair bit of editing that went on that.
Of course,
yeah. Because at the well,
I'm you're telling a story, yeah.
But it's again, it is grueling. It's difficult.
I do have one piece of housekeeping. Actually, shout out to listener Connie, who got her 25-year pin at work and also retired today after 25 years of exemplary service.
Nice. Yeah. Way to go.
Yep. She is like, I've relied on her as like my my trusted coworker and my crisis intervention team counselor for me personally and my friend for 25 years. And it has been a pleasure to work with her, and she will leave behind a vacuum. Yeah, so hats off to Connie. So now, what is it? The Warriors 3 now become the Gruesome Twosome or whatever. Dynamic Duo. Now my coworker Gina and I are the only ones from our academy left.
Wonder Twins.
Yeah, we started as 13. Now we are 2.
So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you wanna catch an episode. They talk movies, they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brother Sanderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey.
Not in a creepy way. 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 Okay. Not in a creepy way.
not in the creepy way. You got Eric, Drew, and Brother J. Poking YouTube, not in the creepy way. Hey!